If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
What are we going to do now? Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, hanging out at Hooters Mall of Georgia. And, guys, the Jalen Walker injury has us all pondering and scratching our heads. Where do the Falcons go? Are the answers internal? Or are there some answers maybe that are not in the building? It's something we'll explore today as we had day 7 of training camp. We're going to be here until 6 o'clock, so come on through and join us at Hooters Mall of Georgia, guys. Mike, yesterday, it was a weird show. We have these every now and then, and I'm not just simply saying injuries. Every now and then, there are shows where you come in, you feel great. It's like your work, and all of a sudden something happens, and it's just you get a punch in the stomach. Right. And that's what happened yesterday with Jalen Walker. We're going to let you hear what Tua had to say about it. And Brian Robinson joined us yesterday, and guys are talking about the injury and what it means for Jalen. But, Mike, this is front and center now. We're still going to talk about the quarterback thing, and Michael Penix talked to Mike and I today. We'll let you hear that interview coming up here in just a little bit around 2:40 this hour. But with the Jalen Walker injury, it changes the dynamics of our defense. And today, you know, Jeff Ulbrich did not speak, our defensive coordinator. But we did hear from, you know, the linebackers coach, edge coach, and he was basically saying, look, the versatility that Jalen brings, it's hard to match that. I don't think there's a guy on the roster that can do all the things that he offered this defense.
No, look, as we said, opportunity for somebody else out there. And whether that's a guy like a Samson Ebukam who's trying to restart his career, and Azeez Ojulari, even a guy like Braylon Tricer that we spoke with Braylon last week. And, look, he knows what knee surgery is all about. He's had to deal with two of them 2 years in a row. But somebody else will make an opportunity. They're going to evaluate quickly. The thing is, there's really no one that you could get from a roster right now. You got to wait for cuts that way. You've got to go talk to the guys that are out there. Now, you referenced Bosa. Who am I forgetting? Hassan Reddick is out there. There's a couple other dudes. I mean, you know, these are guys that are sort of semi-retired as it is and waiting for some opportunity like this to maybe present itself.
Yeah,
they've got the money. It's not like the cap thing is a jam up. They can do that if they need to. But is it something that, as you said, they're going to find it outside the building?
It's about fit, too. I mean, you just don't want to go sign a guy. And look, I know there's a lot of some talk about Leonard Floyd coming back. He helped us last year. But, you know, there were times Leonard looked old. And, you know, the youth of a Jalen Walker, and again, the versatility, meaning guys, you could put him in coverage. You could put him in a situation where he's blitzing the quarterback. He can play against the run. It's why he was so dominant at Georgia. But that guy's just hard to find off the street. So, yeah, Von Miller, he ain't coming here, okay?
Right.
These are the guys I put out this morning on social media. Put them up. See Dukes. Follow Mike at ATL Bell 929. And I said, do any of these guys appeal to you? The overwhelming answer is no. None of these guys that you feel like, yeah, we'll bring in Hassan Reddick or Kyle Van Noy. None of these guys get anybody overly excited about what you just lost. But it is a big deal because, again, you're taking how many sacks off the table with
16.
If James Pierce Jr. doesn't play?
Right, 16 sacks. And, you know, I heard Sandrine Stake talking about it today. Nobody knows, man. We don't know when the NFL is going to drop the hammer on this. I mean, James Pierce Jr., look, they're aware of everything. They've got investigators. They're aware of you. There might be some more stuff out there that we're not privy to. The Falcons, from what we understand from Mark Ramondi and Josh Kendall, they don't have a communication with the NFL on this. So do you look at the Rashee Rice, who had his hit-and-run demolition derby on the interstate in Texas, and eventually got his day in court, but they did not suspend him until after it was adjudicated. Ours is a little bit different because it's a probationary period. There was sort of a pretrial setup, a form of probation, if you will. James Pierce Jr. has got to keep his nose clean for a year. So does the NFL. Now, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. Some would say, why don't you suspend him now? They're going to wait for him to, I guess, do his probation. He keeps his nose clean and then hit him with a suspension?
It's weird.
Doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, it's the timing of this is weird. And it's not because we're being homers here. Look, the bottom line is I do think it's a little bit unfair to the organization, especially if the NFL has all the information. What are you waiting on?
Right.
If they do.
I guess you could play, just to play devil's advocate, the folks up there at Park Avenue in New York don't owe the Falcons anything because our guy decided to lose his mind, you know, and play demolition derby with his, you know, with his ex-girlfriend. So it's just frustrating because, look, two sides of it. And it's funny because we want him to get his head right. Yes, we want to get his life on track. Yes, we want his 10.5 sacks.
We do.
You know, let's keep it real.
Yeah.
We need this guy on the freaking field.
Hey, man, you can hit us up, 404-726-0929. Guys at the bar, hanging out. We expect to see you before 6, and come hang out with us, man. We'd love to get a chance to see you. Got to give a big shout-out to Vernon, man. Vernon came over, and Vern, actually, he's from Long Island. Mike, and you guys had some commonality because you kind of grew up with the same spots.
Yeah, man, he literally, as the crow flies, it's about 7 miles from where we are. It's one town, like four or five towns over. So we were just talking about all Long Island stuff and his town. I'm Wantagh, he's Copeg.
Yeah.
Everything's a Native American name out there for the Montauk Native American tribe. But we were just having a great time. And he, if you're a New York State trooper, Carl, which he was, you wear some of the coolest uniforms in law enforcement.
Yeah, when he said he was a trooper, because I was like, what do you do now? He's like, I'm retired. I chill.
But he kind of, I think he might fight crime or battle evildoers kind of like Denzel.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think? He's kind of got that vibe.
He does. But he did it a long time, man. And
is he the equalizer?
27? You said you did 27? Is that right? So yeah. Big shout out to all the state troopers
they
out there.
They have cool hats, gray jackets with purple. It's a cool look.
But
it's
do y'all uniform. Have to wear the hat when you walk up to the car? I mean, come on. You're already intimidating us. You know, when and they get out and they fix the hat, too, Mike. They fix the hat.
You have to just give a thumbs up, by the way. Was there a height requirement for the state troopers? Oh, there wasn't? Because North Carolina, you got to be Frankenstein. Every time I've gotten pulled over in North Carolina, everybody is like 6'5". It's like the guy that has to lean over. It's like it takes 5 minutes for the guy to lean over to get to the window.
Yeah, know? Well, again, it is intimidating. But, man, thanks, Vern, for coming out and hanging out with us. He's chilling here at Hooters with us. Before we get into what we saw at practice, I do want you to hear a couple of comments. One of them is Tua talking about the injury. If anybody knows, it's Tua, it's Penix. There are guys on this team that have had to deal with what Jalen Walker is going to have to do, and that's that rehab. And, guys, it's tough. I mean, like, we know this. The technology is better. Not worried about the surgery aspect of things. He'll get what he needs to get.
Right.
But this road back, Mike, to getting healthy – and somebody asked me yesterday, I mean, I was like, we don't even know if it's real as far as what the injury was. It came out late last night, later, our buddy Josh Kendall reporting, it was official. But he said, can he make it back before the season's over? No.
No, this isn't.
No.
And that's the thing. You're going to hear this conversation. We spent all offseason talking about Michael Penix Jr., where his head is at. And I got to be honest, I don't want to give it all away, but it was an interesting interview. And how he answers and the way he answers the questions about when he's coming back.
Yeah.
You know, and it threw everybody for – I'm not a bit of a loop. Remember last Wednesday when he said, well, the doctors say it could be another 4 weeks before I can be a full – like 4 more weeks? It was like you're basically taking yourself out of training camp. But he's able today – like we saw him sprint in front of us. And I'm like – I'm looking at you and you're looking at me. I'm like, well, he looks fine.
No, he looks fine. He does. I mean,
so what's the holdup, Swola?
If he walked in here right now, you're expecting him to limp in. He's not. If he walked in right now, you expect to see some sign of him having issues. That's not the case. He's doing everything that he should be doing, which is a little misleading if you're watching practice. And I know a bunch of fans are out there, and they're like, okay, he's throwing the ball. He's throwing it deep. What are we waiting on? What's this clearance thing? I think it's just, again, some of it's precautionary, but to Mike's point, you'll hear what he said to us coming up. Let's hear from Tua about the Jalen Walker injury as the Falcons are trying to figure out what they want to do to try to fill the void there on the edge.
Yeah, the end of practice, definitely not what you want to see. But as a football team, the guys that play football and have been playing football from a young age, we understand that injuries come with the game. But at the end of the day, I'm no doctor. I'm no medical guy, so I can't say what's going on or what's not going on. So from there, you know, I would say all we can do is just pray for Jay, and you know, just with our fingers crossed, hope that he's going to be okay and he could play with us this season.
Unfortunately, as we know now, that's not going to be the case. And like anybody who's had a rehab, but I mean, you're a young athlete. You know, you felt like you just scratched the surface. The phrase everybody thought was breakout year, right, for Jalen Walker.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, Mike's been dealing with it multiple times in his career. You asked him about it in the interview. But now you got to go home and start this process. Eventually, they'll wait for the swelling to go down. You'll have the surgery. And then it's 8 months to a year. And all, you know, that grueling rehab where you're doing the kickouts and they got the trainer stretching your leg and you, and that's only just to get back to where you started.
Right.
You know, and you're hoping you don't lose anything. Some guys come back stronger. Some guys aren't the same.
It's a fact, man. Kirby Smart was asked at Media Day today, and we'll let you hear more of Kirby coming up later in the show, but he was asked about Jalen Walker and he said, look, quote, I guarantee you he's got the best attitude. He always does. It's what we like about Jalen. He's one of these guys. Zachariah Branch is the same way. They have an attitude that they portray that you go, that's a guy I want on my team. Because there's no down days. There's none of this moping. Mm-hmm. They come in. They're smiling. Let's go to work. That's who they are. And Kirby was talking about that today with Jalen, saying, you know, he'll come back from this and being stronger. And he said he'll be an asset in the community. So Kirby has already spoken with him. We asked a couple of Falcons today if they had spoken with Jalen. Some guys had reached out. Some had right. not because they were just waiting to hear what the official word was. And so I can only imagine his phone being bombarded last night with all the calls and texts from people around the country and, you know, teammates, everybody, right. man, just reaching out to him.
And we talked about it today at Dukes of Bell 929, little video, little thing we do, a wrap-up after practice. Also, follow Carl at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes. I am ATL Bell 929. One of the things we talked about today is, okay, you got an injury. It just stops practice dead. You got to send everybody home because there's no energy and everybody's upset. How do you have the next practice? Well, everybody did their individual work for the first hour or so, and then Coach Stefanski brings everybody in. And we weren't privy to what he was telling the guys, but we can guess, hey, let's have a clean practice, let's have a hard practice. And then the Falcons, I'm not trying to be melodramatic or hype it, that's about as tough a physical a practice as we've seen, Carl, with 11-on-11. They were really getting after it. We never saw it like that with Raheem Morris and rarely with Arthur Smith.
I think you need days like that, but I also think you needed a day like that after yesterday.
To reset the tone.
Correct, because it's a physical game, guys. Tua's right. Guys get hurt. But at the end of the day, you know what my job is? To block you, to handle you, to own you.
When's the last time we saw a guy go to the ground in a Falcons practice? And, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think the only way you achieve those things is I have to get after it a little bit. So it was good to see, and hopefully that translates. Look, we've always talked about wanting a physical team, and it's hard sometimes to quantify that in this day and age because, you know, the season starts, guys aren't tackling well. But if you're running the football – like, I think we're going to run the ball, we're going to be a physical team. If we get after the quarterback like we did last year, we're a physical team. And that kind of transpired today.
Right.
All right, more on what we saw. Jesse Bates was out. What's going on there?
Second day in a row.
And Bijan Robinson spoke to the media today. It's just the first time we've had a chance. They kept him away from us because the contract wasn't done. But he had some fun things to say today, and he was at practice. We'll talk about that as well. But when we come back, Mike Sando, NFL writer for The Athletic, is going to join us, Mike. One general manager told him something about Tua we need to ask him about. Wait till you hear it next.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hey gang, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and we are going to move. We are going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
We are live at Hooters, guys, Mall of Georgia location. We went to practice today. We'll tell you more about what we saw, more about what Bijan had to say about getting his deal. And that is all on the way. But Mike Sando joins us right now, NFL writer for The Athletic, as we kind of go around the league. And, Mike, appreciate the time today joining us here on the show. I was reading something about you talking about your tiers of quarterbacks, and I found it interesting that a GM told you Tua Tagovailoa is a solid starter if you know what to do with him. What does that mean to you? Because everybody here in Atlanta has been wondering, all right, look, probably going to start the season based on the health situation, but what are we going to get from Tua? And we know that he's had a couple of great seasons down there in Miami before last year where things did not go well. What do you take from that?
Yeah, I take it to mean that he's not going to work everywhere in every scheme. You're not just going to drop him in and have it work well. The ball has to come out of his hands quickly, and that's for his preservation as well. He's obviously had, you know, he could be one concussion away from retirement at any time, given his history. But you want to basically do what Mike McDaniel did with him when they were at their best. They had some really good talent, and he was able to, you know, create quick throws for him to guys who were able to get open quickly. Tyreek Hill, obviously, one of them. So you don't want him standing in there, hanging in there, having to muscle the ball down the field. That's not going to be his game.
One of the stories that came up this week as we're talking with Mike Sando from The Athletic is Bijan gets his contract. Drake London got his. They gave Pitts an extension after initially tagging him. And that's great because we got great skill positions. Some would say, why spend the money on these guys when you don't really know what your quarterback situation is going to be? Do you buy that, or you say, look, you don't draft three excellent players, just let them walk out the door?
I'm more of the latter. You know, I think you have to make difficult decisions, but I'm in favor of, in general, re-signing your best players. Now, I think there's, you know, where you're at in your build and, you know, how much you're paying your quarterback. Those can be things you sometimes worry about, but they got to worry about not letting their best players leave the team. So I'm fine with them re-signing good players. It's not like they have too many good players.
No, right. I mean, that's part of the issue. I think, you know, for Falcon fans, signing all of these guys this particular offseason was not the norm, because we normally have not done this. But part of that has been we haven't had really good players to sign, you know, during this rebuild of whatever it's been, and trying to find, you know, the right quarterback after Matt Ryan. It still has not happened. Mike, let's talk about a couple other things that are going on around the league. News today, Stephon Diggs is going to sign with the Commanders. I guess I'm not surprised, but what's that mean for a guy like Brandon Ayuk, who apparently has just, you know, offended everybody?
Yeah, well, exactly. I don't think anyone wants to rely on him. He just seems – I'm actually kind of concerned for him. You know, some of the videos he's posted of him driving in certain ways, and obviously seems a little projects some instability. So, I mean, I hope he's okay, but I just can't imagine being on a team and saying, hey, I'm really impressed by what he's shown here the last couple of years. I'd like to add that to my locker room, right? The upside doesn't seem – is the juice worth the squeeze, as they say, right? I don't see that it is.
No, and that's the thing. We felt that, you know, somebody was going to sign, speaking of his own situation, Stephon Diggs, there's too much talent there, and 1,000-yard receivers don't grow on trees. Speaking of the 49ers, with Mike Sando from The Athletic, Deebo Samuel goes back. They've had some injuries. By the way, do you buy those injuries at the power station, substation, next to that practice facility? I've seen a lot of that on social media.
Look, I'm open-minded. I mean, if somebody can prove it, but I just don't believe that's the case. Otherwise, Christian McCaffrey would be getting hurt even more.
Right. Yeah, if anything, maybe they're nuclear-powered. What do you think, though? Do you feel like the window is starting to close for the 49ers? Or obviously, I mean, they've got to get it done.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they've been banking on a bunch of guys who get hurt for a while. Mm. And between Kittle and McCaffrey, now they're adding Mike Evans, who's obviously had a great career, but the reason he's not in Tampa anymore is because he missed a lot of the season last year with an injury. And he has a little bit of an injury now. You've got Christian McCaffrey, who is great, but this last year was the third time he's led the league in touches. The other two times he had big injury seasons the next year. So, yes, they're trying to keep that window open, which is typical of a head coach-driven operation, especially offensive head coach. Kyle Shanahan wants to keep all those guys, but I do feel like Trent Williams is another one. I mean, you're holding on, but they may be the third best team in their division.
Mike, what do you think about the Chiefs? I don't want to dismiss Patrick Mahomes. You know, I'm watching the camp where he's got the brace on. He seems like he's limited in his movement. But, again, we haven't seen him in a game. But I think the teams in that division are better right now. And I'm talking about the Chargers. I'm talking about the Broncos. Where do you see the Chiefs, and have they fixed their issues on that O-line?
Yeah. Look, I agree. I think it's we're accustomed to them just finding a way anyway, right? But last year showed that that's not going to happen every year. And I agree. I think the Chargers could be really good. Obviously, they've had their issues, and the injuries are one of them. But I think they're, you know, I think I might take the field to win that division over Kansas City right now.
Right. And that's the thing with, you know, Denver. By the way, did you feel if Bo Nix doesn't get hurt, it's Denver representing the AFC?
Probably. I mean, they needed a couple more plays, and I think they would have suffered a similar fate, probably, that New England did. But who knows? Their defense is really good. Maybe they would have gotten a turnover or two off of Seattle. That was a problem for them during the regular season. But if they could have done that, they might have put up a better fight than New England did. It seemed to me like quarterback injuries were a factor there, too. Drake May didn't seem to be 100%.
It's the Athletics' Mike Sando. Just keep it in the division. Speaking of, like, put up or shut up, is it time for Justin Herbert and Harbaugh to do something special?
I think it is. I do. I mean, look, everybody would want to have Justin Herbert as their quarterback, but at a certain time, certain point, you know, you need more to show for it. I will say this. They have had Philip Rivers and Justin Herbert for 20-plus years as their quarterbacks. They have not won a division title since the 2000s.
Crazy.
So that's an organizational systemic issue to me that transcends Justin Herbert. But, yes, I do believe when you bring in Harbaugh, Herbert, now Mike McDaniel, they've got to have something to show for it that maybe looks like a playoff win or at least a, you know, an MVP-type season from the quarterback would make you feel good.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, that division. Speaking of our division with the Falcons, Baker Mayfield does not get his deal. He's going to be playing with a chip on his shoulder, obviously. Throughout the course of the season, he felt like, what was it, 2 years, I think they offered him, was disrespectful. What is the Baker Mayfield market?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's an interesting thing because he's played well. I think he had a 4,000-yard season there a couple of seasons ago with the Bucs and has led him to the playoffs every year he's been there.
Typically, this is what happens. If it's one of your homegrown guys that you drafted, they're like more than willing to pay him off the charts. Tua comes to mind. But when the guy changes teams and comes to you like that way, then everyone's reluctant. It's like, it's a weird thing to me. They have their favorites, right? Their favorite kids are their kids, and someone else that comes
GMs.
In.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly. It's like they're not willing to do it. So I think we've seen that a number of times, at least be lesser deals. Even Sam Darnold, right? I mean, he's played pretty good the last couple of years. If he'd been drafted by Minnesota, they would have paid him at the top of the market.
Right.
Yep. It's a great point.
Him, they might be paying him high. Like, I think C.J. Stroud is going to get paid because they drafted him. And then Baker Mayfield, who might be better than C.J. Stroud, is like having to beg.
And where do you see that one going? Because, you know, as we said, with Baker, it seems like, you know, we played the soundbite last week, Mike Sando from The Athletic with us, and he was in old school Baker, tensed up, spring-loaded, looked like he was ready to explode mode. How does that play with the Bucs management? Because speaking of a window, it seems like theirs is closing.
Well, I think there's going to be – it's not the last good quote from Baker this year. I would bet you that. You know, I look at it in the context of this. Even if it's a good decision to not pay or keep Mike Evans, they didn't do that. Vita Vea's looking for a new home. Are they not going to pay him? On the merits, that could be something, hey, at his size and his age, you know, you could justify maybe you're not going to do it. But when everybody's not getting a deal, then, you know, I think that could be something that Baker could mention.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting scenario as it plays out. Mike Sando, man, check out his tiers of quarterbacks. It's very interesting. And by the way, the first tier, just kind of let's talk about this before we let you go. Because everybody talks about, you know, Mahomes being in there. Where did you have him coming into this season?
So 49 of the 50 voters, I talked to 50 coaches and executives, 49 of them put Mahomes in tier one. So he came out as number one.
Okay.
And then Josh Allen and Stafford tied for the second spot. Each one got two votes in tier two, the rest 48 in tier one. Joe Burrow came in at 46 in tier one, four in tier two. So that's your top tier. And then Lamar Jackson got 22 tier one votes, 28 in tier two after a little bit of a lesser year for him. And Herbert's kind of been hovering in there too as the next guy where the talent's there, but something's missing.
I guess the question with Mahomes is if he can't do those things with his legs we're used to seeing him do, he's not the same guy, isn't he?
I agree. I think that they need to help him with the weaponry and the run game. I think that would really go a long way for him. You can't just have him drop back, can't find somebody right away because none of his guys can get open, and then create magic and take hits. That's just not a formula, especially on the back half of his career.
And you mentioned C.J. Stroud coming in tied for ninth, so that's second tier on your list. He looked like a lost puppy. That's that Pittsburgh playoff game. My God, the Steelers just kept fumbling the ball right back to Houston. They just give it right back. Is Stroud going to – is that a byproduct of having too many offensive coordinators in his life? What's going to get him back on track?
I think offensive line help is big for him. I think he and Justin Herbert have taken a lot of hits, and it's starting to take a toll on them. And you can see C.J. Stroud, in some cases, is feeling pressure even when it's not there. They got to just settle him down, make him feel confident and comfortable again back there. They made some moves on their offensive line that they think are going to do that. Wyatt Teller is one of those guys. And so if they could just have a league-average offensive line, I think that would go a long way with him. The talent is there.
Yeah, I agree. Mike, we got to run, man. Great stuff as always. Follow him social media-wise, guys. Check out his stuff as he covers the NFL, does a great job. Mike Sando, we'll talk soon.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Really interesting. Go to his Twitter page or X, and you can see all the lists. Again, talking to executives crawl around the league. They're not that excited about Trevor Lawrence. Tua Tagovailoa comes in higher than Trevor Lawrence.
So the comment about a solid starter if you know what to do with him, that's interesting, right?
Play to his strengths.
Yeah. And that's why I think Kevin Stefanski, you know, it's one thing that – it's about fit. We're talking about, like, we're trying to replace Jalen Walker. It's not just going to get a Von Miller. It's about fit. What does the guy do that you need him to be able to do? For Tua, you know, I think this system – and you'll hear Michael Penix coming up next talking about this system and the offense. He thinks it fits his skill set perfectly.
Right. And Michael Penix, for what it's worth, again, this is a survey of NFL executives. Penix just ahead of J.J. McCarthy. You know, in that same draft class, two guys dealing with injuries, two guys so far disappointing at 28 and 29.
All right, coming up, you'll hear Michael Penix Jr. with us as we had a chance to catch up with him after camp today. We're live at Hooters. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality Gaze,
let's love!
Dukes and Bell with Michael Penix. And look, bro, I got to be honest with you. You look 100 to me. I mean, you're making the throws. You're doing all the things out there, and I'm watching you. And it's just hard to believe, like, you've not been cleared. Obviously, I'm curious to know where you're at physically, but you look like you're 100.
Yeah, I mean, I feel really good, you know. But at the same time, it's things that, you know, the doctor know more than me, you know. So it's like sometimes you got to, you know, step back and be like, okay, I don't know as much as the doctor, so I'm going to trust that, and I'm going to just go out there and do whatever I can to make sure I get to the point where he says that I am 100%.
You've been so positive, Mike, and so forthcoming. You know, we all kind of went like, whoa, when you said it might be another couple of weeks before you're ready. As Carl said, you look great. We saw you sprinting out there. What more do you need to get before they'll let you do what you need to do?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing right now is, like, I just got to make sure I'm non-contact. So I don't even want to be in a spot where you're risking, you know, somebody falling into you. So that's why I'm kind of staying away from the 11-on-11 stuff. If I knew 100% sure that I wouldn't get touched, nobody would, you know, accidentally fall. You know, it happens. You know, it's football. You know, you're going to fall. It's not always going to be perfect. So I just want to get to that point where, okay, if that scenario did happen, I know that I'm in a good spot and I know that I'm okay. So
Michael Penix Jr. with us here on Dukes and Bell. I'm curious to know how difficult this rehab has been compared to your previous rehabs. First knee, all right, bro, I'll get back. Second one, okay, I know what this is about. Now this time around, how difficult has this one been compared to the others?
I wouldn't say it's as difficult. I think my second time was the most difficult. I feel like the first time was tough because I've never been injured before, so, like, mentally it was kind of tough. But the second time, I was kind of down on myself. But, you know, getting through the second time, I feel like it gave me confidence in knowing that, you know, I can get through anything. So whenever this time did come around, I'm like, okay, I've been here before. You know, it's just another bump in the road. But, you know, I know that I can come out on top. And so that's, for me, I'm just, like, just trusting in the process, trusting in my faith each and every day, and just going out there to be the best person I can be for this team. So.
It's Michael Penix Jr. with us on Dukes and Bell. I don't know how much you've heard, but the audience, man, every time we mention you and the competition, it's like, Penix is my quarterback. Do you feel the love? So many people pulling for you.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. It's a beautiful city. It's an awesome city to be able to play in. The fans have been amazing, you know. But, you know, for them, I just say I'm working on getting back on the field first. And once I'm out there on the field, you know, the plays will come. So I'm excited for this season. I'm excited for this team. And I look forward to, you know, winning football games.
Let's talk about some fun, man. You got married. You got married. How's married life, man? And what's the change been for you going from, you know, dating, obviously, and people say it doesn't change. It does. But what's been the change for you since the wedding?
Obviously, the title is that's the biggest change, you know. Just getting used to being calling my wife, and but it's been amazing, you know. But as far as change, it's not too much change, you know. But obviously, you know, not like we become one. So, you know, just becoming one with another person, your soulmate, your life partner, you know, I feel like there's something special about that, and something that, you know, you don't take for granted.
So everybody saw you dancing at the wedding. And everybody lost their mind because they were like, he's healthy. Look at him. He's dancing. Yeah. But you were just having a good time, man. And I think some people took that as to you were going to be ready for the season. So that's why I think a lot of people were surprised. But you're just having a good time.
Right. I'm just having a good time, man. That's a once in a lifetime thing. You know, Lord's willing, and you know, I just wanted to be able to have fun, you know, let loose. You know, I was still being smart about it as well. I wasn't dropping to the floor or nothing, you know, but yeah, I could still get boogie, but and still being safe at the same time.
King of the dance floor, Michael Penix Jr. with us here on Dukes and Bell. You know, the first year, you know, you had to watch for the most part Kirk, and then last year you get in there. I was with Berlin, I saw you come off the side, like, hey man, give me the play, get the play in. Do you feel with this coaching staff there's going to be you'll be better prepared and once you're on the field, and they'll have your back? I felt sometimes it wasn't the way it needed to be last season.
Yeah, I mean, you can't pinpoint one thing that it was last season on, you know, why things were a certain way, you know. But I am confident in this coaching staff. I'm confident in what they're doing to help us prepare each and every day, so that whenever we do step on the field, we know exactly what's going on. So I'm super excited to be able to, you know, have that and be able to see that this year, and just see it come to fruition.
Can you talk about Alex Van Pelt and what he's meant as far as the development and things he's asking you to do?
Yeah, he's been awesome. Obviously, he's played in the league for a long time. He's been coaching in the league for a long time, been around a lot of great quarterbacks. So it's awesome to be able to have him in our room, you know, coaching us up, you know, and just giving us that confidence that we need to go out there to play at a high level.
Everybody saw the pass to Zachariah Branch. I know one of those guys you got to be itching to maybe get the football to. How do you like what he's doing out there?
Oh, man, it's awesome, man. It's exciting to see how explosive he is, you know, the things that he could do with the ball in his hand, you know, the things that he could do with his route running. It's awesome to see, and I can't wait to see it this year.
Michael, what about when you talk about the playbook, obviously, has it changed a lot? Is it very similar to what we were doing over the last couple of seasons? How do you feel?
Yeah, it changed a decent amount. You know, it's some carryover, but it is a lot of change as well. But at the same time, you know, that comes with it. That comes with this sport. You know, you've seen a lot of coaching changes throughout the whole league this past year. So, you know, it's a lot of people going through it, you know. But it's all about the work that you put in, the amount of studying that you put in, so that whenever, you know, your time do come out on the field, you have a good understanding, a good grasp of the offense. So,
you feel it's better suited to what you do?
Man, I feel like it's definitely been amazing. You know, I feel like I really love this offense. You know, just the versatility, you know, the way that we're getting the ball in all our playmakers' hands, you know, it's definitely awesome. And I can't wait to see what it's going to look like, you know, come live game action.
We'd be remiss if we didn't ask you about Jalen Walker yesterday. Kind of took the you know, the air out of the sails at practice. And obviously a guy that was expecting to do big things in year two. Mm-hmm. You've been through it. Talk about what that injury means for the team, but more importantly, the person Jalen Walker is.
Yeah, man, it hurts. It hurts for this team. You know, we hurt for him, but at the same time, you know, we're all going to be there for him. We're all going to rally around him and, you know, be there for him while he's going through this rehab process. And, you know, him as a person, you know, just the person that he is, the positive energy that he brings, the toughness that he has. You know, I know this is going to be nothing for him. You know, he's going to get through this, and he's going to come back even stronger. And, you know, we're just all praying for him. We're all rallying around him and just giving him that love that he needs in this time. And but he'll be okay.
Man, we can't wait to see you out there. I mean, it's one of those conversations we've had all offseason. And you and Tua, what is Tua saying to you? What's the relationship like with Tua in this? It's not a true competition yet, but how's the relationship with Tua?
Yeah, man, it's been great. Tua's been great since he got here. You know, we got a great relationship. A lot of jokes being said throughout the quarterback room.
I feel like together, right?
Yeah. So I feel like everybody is getting comfortable around each other in the room. So it's been awesome to be able to have, you know, a quarterback room that, you know, looks to see each other's success. You know, it's not about themselves. It's not about just me. You know, it's about this team. You know, whenever you have that, that's when it's going to be good.
You got seven back, man. How's that feel?
It feels awesome, man. It feels awesome.
I saw you guys working a little extra, doing some extra stuff. Is that just timing kind of deal, handoffs and getting in a rhythm?
Yeah, I mean, that's just getting the reps. You know, obviously he didn't practice the first couple practices, so just him getting the reps and me as well, the reps that I missed, you know, in the team period. So, you know, it's just us getting those extra reps so that we can stay sharp as far as mentally and, you know, physically. Whenever I do get back, and whenever he's back into the rotation the same way that he normally is in practice, you know, we're on the right pace.
Michael Penix Jr. with us. He looked great at practice, as we said, but there's still some time to go. The mental reps, the film study, is that all part of it too?
Yeah, that's all. That's the main thing right now, you know, especially not being able to be out there in 11-on-11, the team stuff. You know, it's all about the mental reps. It's all about, you know, just thinking about what you're going to do if you were in that situation. So that's what I've been doing a lot of.
So at no point during the offseason did you want to post a video of you pulling a truck going, I'm fine, look at me, I'm okay, because I was waiting for that, but it didn't happen.
Nah, there's no need for that. Whenever that time comes, it'll come and everybody will know.
Michael Penix, appreciate you, man. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
That's our man, Michael Penix, talking to us today at Falcons headquarters. We were talking to Mike, and you know, I was trying to pump him up, but can't wait to see you out there. Yeah, when it happens, it happens. You know, can't wait to see you out there. You know, yeah, you know, we're gonna wait. Don't want to rush things. I'm like, I don't know. Is he resigned to the fate for this year that he's probably going to be on the bench watching Tua, or is it just he's just keeping it 100% real and he's not going to hype? He's not going to be a hype man.
Look, it's hard to read. Because what I expect, and I think what Falcon fans are expecting, Mike, is a little bit more confidence, exuding a little bit more about being the starter of this football team. I'm not killing him. I don't know what his mind state is. I know he's been dealing with this, and nobody wants to answer questions every damn day about how's your knee.
Right.
Okay? Nobody. But the other side of that is, this may be my last opportunity to really show this organization, I don't know what happens down the road, this organization, that I'm that dude. And so that's what I want to see. Now, that's going to come out and play, and I know some of you are going to say, well, even if he told you, you know what, man, I feel 1,000% and I'm ready to go crush it, and, you know, I can't wait till the first Sunday, he's still got to go out and perform. But I'd rather him say that than be passive-aggressive about where he's at in this process.
Right.
So, Mike, I don't know. We both walked off, and you asked me that question. We were there today, and again, I don't want to say, you know, Penix feels this way. I think he's being honest and open about where he's at. But it is just a little weird. I almost get the sense, and maybe I'm wrong, if he pressed the issue about being out there more or trying to do more, maybe they would allow it. I don't know. Maybe they're just simply like, look, we're going to do whatever the medical team tells us to do, and that's where he's at. But I just need a little bit more. I want him to puff his chest out, Mike, and go, you know what? I am that dude you guys drafted.
I was talking to him, I said, you know, did you feel the love from the fans? Because we talk about it every day on the text line. If we say anything about Michael, we say, you know, Michael's got an injury, might keep him out of camp. Why are you hating on Penix? I'm like, not hating on Penix. The man said it in his own words last Wednesday. It may be 4 weeks, which basically takes him out of any kind of live 11-on-11. Although today, as we point out, we're not making this up, guys. He looks, I mean, we're not orthopedists, as Carl says, but he looks good. We're not hyping it. He looks like he should be ready to do the same things that Tua is doing in the 11-on-11s.
Yeah, I just, you know, and again, I'm watching and I'm going, what's holding him back? Well, there's nothing. He's making all the throws. Like, there's nothing holding him back. Today he was, if you were at practice today, for example, and he throws an interception, and Mike and I were like, that's a lame interception. It was going to be either two things. One, the time ran out, and he would have either thrown it away or he would have been sacked. But he throws a ball down the field just to get rid of it. And, you know, you look at that and you go, all right, well, that play, those you have to take out. It's the plays in actual time, Mike, that we watch where he has a chance to throw the football and deliver it. And you go, Good throw.
In a real game scenario, he would have just thrown that ball out of bounds.
Throw it
to
away.
Your point. But he was trying to make a play, so he gave his receiver a chance to make a play, and the DB picked it off. Speaking of DBs, Avion Terrell with a pick. And you and I were debating with Day-Day. Was it a trap? Was it a pick? We thought it was a pick. We went to Mark Raimondi. He said, it's a catch. So, again, Avion Terrell picks off Tua Tagovailoa yeah. in an 11-on-11 scenario, and Tua threw the ball behind him, and he made a nice play.
He did. It was funny today, speaking of Michael Penix, and appreciate him, you know, chopping it up with us. I know some of you think, again, he hates y'all. No, he doesn't. He understands what's in front of him, and we support him. We support Tua. You know what we want? Winners. We want this team to win. And we've said this from the jump, guys. I've just always felt like I am willing to give Tua a bigger chance, which is why I've been on the Tua kick. Because I think a lot of people said he won't do anything here. What we didn't know were the physical limitations that Michael Penix was going to have to deal with that kind of thrust Tua into the forefront here, Mike.
Right.
We thought Tua was going to come in and automatically be the backup and just, you know, be the guy with the cap on. And now with the physical limitations of Penix, he's been thrust into this a little bit more. And so, you know, the competition, though, as we said yesterday, there isn't one. I know everybody wants us to say, hey, Penix is here and Tua is here. That's not where this is right now. It's just not.
No, and as we said, it's frustrating for fans of Michael Penix Jr., but, I mean, Tua – and by the way, Tua yesterday was a little more, and today was a little bit more from Tua. I think I didn't see as much as Joe Patrick saw in his breakdown yesterday, but I thought Tua is now doing more, not looking as stiff as he has because of the back.
Yeah.
Really stepping into more throws, doing more stuff. Even now, one play, no one's going to hit him. He's in a non-contact jersey, but, you know, picking him up, putting him down in a scramble. But, I mean, this team, if you want to see what we saw with our own eyes, basically the right tackle, shaky as hell. You know, there's a couple plays where guys executed, but there's a lot of plays where there's pulls, and you're like, oh, that's, oh, God, that reminds me like I'm watching me in high school. It's just not good. So I'm curious when Juwan Taylor is going to get out on the field.
Yeah, I don't know either, man. I hope we didn't get damaged goods with this dude. I really do.
Right.
Because we signed him, we gave him a nice contract. Do you do that knowing that he was not going to be ready for camp? And now what we're seven, about to be 8 days in, he hadn't played, hadn't done it. I don't know if they knew, maybe they did, but I just hope we didn't get damaged goods. I don't want to jump the gun here, but looking good.
Brian Robinson did something to his arm today. He was getting some treatment in between plays on the sideline, but he was still out there.
Yes.
And as we said earlier, if you missed it in the first segment of the show, from my guesstimation, this is one of the more intense practices. That segment we saw, the final 25, 30 minutes, they're really getting after it. You know, we didn't always see that kind of contact, that level of really, you know, hardcore practice, 11-on-11 in the past with other coaches.
It's going to be interesting to see where this goes, man. By the way, preseason football tomorrow night, guys. Hall of Fame game.
Right.
Tomorrow night, which kind of kicks off, obviously, the preseason season.
Basically, you watch that for the interviews with the Hall of Fame.
That's great.
And then guys will be driving for UPS will be playing in the fourth quarter.
And then next week, we
Nothing wrong with driving for UPS, by the way. Great job.
We play on Friday next week, so preseason is right around the corner. All right, we're coming back. Speaking of Bijan, real quick, I got to mention this because it did make everybody laugh. Michael Penix said in their quarterback meetings, a lot of times they'll be watching film and they go, hey, if you ever get in trouble, we just beige it. And everybody kind of went, what is that phrase? So if you hear somebody saying that, here saying, just get it to Bijan. He'll make a play. If you're in trouble, just get it to Bijan some way. And everybody kind of laughed. But somehow that came out today when he was talking about the quarterback meetings and just watching Bijan work. Everybody's glad to have him back. It gives the quarterbacks a lot of confidence back there. All right, we're coming back. What else is going on around the NFL? We'll tell you when we come back to Hooters. Also, the latest on the Braves, guys. We have spoken our piece. Now they just got to keep winning. And they did last night. We'll see if this continues, but we need to jump into that as well.
Right, because somebody heard the chatter and got fired up, did his job. How novel.
It's Dukes and Bell.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, what if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? Because it's not magic, but it's not not magic.